We are officially one day before the NFL season. It was the night before the 2025 NFL season. CJ was all nestled into bed, and he said, "Gosh, can't wait for football." This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. Today is September 3rd. Tomorrow, September 4th, Thursday night, Dallas versus Philly. Glory to be God. Thank you for bringing us to another NFL season. Just happy to be here, CJ. We can just wrap up the episode like that. I think that's a good way to end the show right there.
Literally.
We'll see you guys Friday night. But we're going to talk about the Cowboys and Eagles Thursday night football at 8:20 tomorrow night. We're also going to talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers. The second year in a row for NFL in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Last year being the Packers and the Eagles, with the Eagles coming out on top. But we'll get to that later on. We'll also be giving our Super Bowl matchup predictions as part of our Wednesday week one episode. That was a bad way to really wrap that one up, but NFL opening night 2025, Cowboys on the road to the Eagles. Obviously, the Cowboys being in the news for a very major trade that happened last week. Micah Parsons being dealt to the Packers. The Eagles, the reigning defending Super Bowl champions. Banner night for them as well. Oddly enough, they won't be out on the field for banner night. Fun fact. Really the biggest thing for this season, and it's a trend that not many people tend to talk about, or I feel like haven't really been talking about leading up to this season. The NFC East has not had a repeat champion in 20 years, including that of Super Bowl champions like the New York Giants and the Eagles back in 2017 and 2018. So they kind of have history against them this year. And I want to go into more of the obstacles for the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champions. That's probably one of their biggest obstacles, is really history and trends. And the last time that an NFC team did end up repeating was the 2001-02 Eagles. Or 2001 to 2004, pardon. CJ.
Yeah, four straight.
CJ, what are some other obstacles that we could be looking at for the Eagles this year?
Well, the Eagles are a pretty strong on paper, but when you think about overall obstacles, right, I feel like we don't talk enough about the fact that they got a little picked apart in free agency, perhaps not to the extent that like San Francisco was, but make no mistake, the Eagles lost some pieces. Can we all agree on that?
I can definitely agree with you.
Most notably, two key members of their front seven, defensive tackle Milton Williams heading to New England, and star edge rusher Josh Sweat going to the Cardinals. And right now, if you look at it, they got Azeez Ojulari, who they signed from the Giants, and Nolan Smith, who has struggled to stay healthy. And don't get me wrong, the interior is still set. You know, you got Jordan Davis, you got Jalen Carter, who is an absolute beast. But I don't know. on the edge, they're going to be missing Sweat. And Williams was really good on the interior, especially when Jordan Davis wasn't able to, you know, play all three downs, essentially. And also CJ Gardner-Johnson getting traded, that I still don't understand that. I mean, I know he's a bit of a contentious figure, but come on, why? Or what about this? Your swing linebacker, he's not a starter, but he's a respected guy there. Oren Burks agreed to a 2-year deal with Cincy. Receiver 3-4, Paris Campbell is gone. Oh, who could forget? Mekhi Becton, your starting right guard, is also gone, and I don't think they did enough to replace him either. Kenneth Gainwell, your receiving back, also is gone. Corner, you know, your good veteran slot guy. Well, DeJean and Mitchell played outside. Darius Slay, gone as well. So, I mean, granted that only a handful of them were actually, you know, starters, but these are core veteran, like, locker room presences that are now just gone. And, like, especially on defense, you're going to need more from the edge because Jalen Carter is great, but he can't do it all himself. So whether you get that signing in Aziz Ojulari to step up, whether Nolan Smith, former first-round pick, by the way, finally takes the next step, you're going to need to see a next man up mentality, especially considering the fact I touched on this. They did not do enough to replace Mekhi Becton. They just didn't. Landon Dickerson as well is going to be banged up. I do believe he's going to be missing some time at the beginning of the season. So you are now down both of your guards. So literally, like now what? You're going to go, I mean, look, your O-line's good, but you're now at 3/5 capacity. Also, I didn't mention, as you can see right here, the Eagles key losses. I didn't mention James Bradberry because, in my humble opinion, that's addition by subtraction. And, I mean, at least they still have their coordinators. I mean, they have Vic Fangio. They lost their offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. He's gone. He's going to go coach the Saints. But luckily, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio did, in fact, stick around. A lot of teams sniffing around him. He turned him down. Kellen Moore, now, like I said, now he's down in New Orleans. That's going to be a little tough. Thankfully, you're not in a situation like the Detroit Lions, you know, another contender for the NFC East, or the NFC in general, they're not in the East, where they lost both of their coordinators. But still, losing a coordinator always sucks. And we all remember, Chris, you remember, I remember, and Adam behind the scenes, he remembers, the last time Philly lost coordinators, they struggled to replace them. And replacing a coordinator is one of the sneakily hardest things to do in football. And let's just hope they got it right this time.
Yeah, the year after they lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, they ended up kind of, everyone remembers, they imploded that very next season and did not perform very well at all. Or started out 11-0, but the cracks were showing, which led to their first round loss. Eagles offensive coordinator this year, Kevin Petullo, to replace Kellen Moore, has been with the team since 2021, so since Sirianni's first year, and probably going to try to do the same things that Kellen Moore was doing and just really building on the strengths of that offense, which there is still a lot of strengths on that offense. Obviously, as you mentioned CJ, they lost a piece on the O-line, but they still got Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Tyler Lane Johnson. Tyler Steen's currently the right guard, listed as right guard one on the depth chart. In terms of other obstacles that could be that could hamper the Eagles from winning the Super Bowl, well, we could look in the NFC East itself. Obviously, we could talk about the Cowboys, but they're not really in a spot where you could say that they're going to win the Super Bowl, never mind the playoffs, maybe. The only thing that they have going for them, I would say, is the fact that Dak has a number two receiver now in George Pickens. That is, if he can keep his head. But Dak has proven he can have good seasons when he has a proven or a good wide receiver two in the wide receiver room. Another one, obviously, the Washington Commanders. Washington beat Philly in a game last year, and they were right with the Eagles in that NFC championship game until the wheels fell off. Up until the wheels fell off. And then obviously the Eagles went on to put up 50. So I think that let's not even think about the Cowboys. I think the Commanders could have a real chance at dethroning the Eagles as NFC champions, NFC East champs this year.
Yeah, obviously them, but think about the Commanders, right? They're another team that got better, like especially on offense. You know, they needed to beef up the offensive line, so they grabbed Josh Connerly in the draft. They traded for Laremy Tunsil, and they grabbed Deebo Samuel. Maybe he still has a little bit left in the tank. Also, they kept their coordinators, which is important because, you know, once again, a lot of teams were sniffing around Cliff Kingsbury. He decided to stay, and that's a win in and of itself. Now, you mentioned the Cowboys, and I get that, but I mean, I still think the Commanders are their biggest threat. And before we move on, there is one thing that I have to say. We mentioned how in the past 20 years, the NFC East has not had a repeat champion, even when other teams, you know, were in or outright won the Super Bowl. You know? But I feel like some of these, actually all of these, can be explained away. The Giants, I mean, those are just 2 years. You know, now don't get me wrong, they were punching above their weight, but you know, like they didn't win it again because they were wild cards. You know, or I mean, even the time where they weren't, no one expected them to do anything. They were punching above their weight and they fell apart. Or the Eagles, you know, when they went back to Super Bowl in 04, they lost Super Bowl hangover. Oh my, you know, right? And yeah. You know, Eagles 2017, they caught lightning in a bottle, wasn't sustainable. And then last time the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, you know, once again, Super Bowl hangover. So obviously this isn't a lightning in a bottle scenario. It's not. And on top of that, they actually won. So I see no reason to believe that history should drag them down.
No, I would agree as well. Like, obviously, the Eagles are clearing away the favorites in this division. But let's look at some of the NFC itself. Honestly, I could look at anyone in the NFC North as a potential team to knock off the Eagles this year. Any of them.
Come on, even the Bears?
Well, I probably could come up with a reason for the Bears, but I would quickly talk myself down from that.
Yeah.
I think the Packers have a real chance. I think the Lions have a real chance. I think the Vikings have a real chance if JJ pans out the way that they hope that he can. I think them nabbing Adam Thielen and bringing him back home to Minnesota was pretty good. Was a really good move considering Jordan Addison's going to be out for 6 weeks, correct? Four weeks. I was thinking Rashee Rice. But that's still a great pickup to have. See the way Adam Thielen was playing in Carolina. He's still got something in there. But NFC North, minus the Bears, I could see that being very real. Tampa Bay, I see them as a very real contender for the Super Bowl this year, especially once they get Chris Godwin back. But Igbuka, their rookie receiver, he's probably going to end up getting bounced down to number three, but he's going to get a lot of good wide receiver two reps and a lot of good wide receiver two playing time to open up the season.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But Vikings, you know, JJ McCarthy, I know we can mention, but he sat for a year. He had time to learn and develop from his ACL. I get that, but I'm sorry. For all intents and purposes, this is his rookie year. I mean, you can disagree. I mean, it's technically not, but come on, he's coming off a torn ACL. This is, like I said, essentially his rookie year. The Bucks are intriguing, or meniscus, sorry. The Bucks are intriguing, but I'm sorry, it's coaching. I'm still not sold on Todd Bowles. This is the Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans show, and Bowles just seems to be along for the ride. I do not classify Bowles as a top 10 head coach. I think he's serviceable, but he can't scheme his way around. Adam, get out of my ear. I'm just saying, sorry, just, you know. oh, my God, no, but I'm just saying he can't scheme his way out of a tight space. You know what I mean? He gets out-coached a lot. He's kind of like the NFC equivalent of Sean McDermott, you know, where he's a serviceable coach, but I don't think he's going to, you know, like take his team to the promised land. The Lions are probably your best bet to knock him off. But once again, they lost both of their coordinators, and that's, you know, not easy to come back from, you know?
No, not at all.
I don't know. But still the Lions, from a pure roster standpoint, it's the Lions are their best bet, or the best bet for the NFC.
Yeah, if we're going to touch on every single division here, I mean, I'm not even going to look at the Falcons, Panthers, and the Saints. The NFC West, 49ers, maybe. The Rams, maybe. Cardinals and Seahawks, I'm not even thinking about them. But I wouldn't really put the Niners and the Cardinals into that conversation, I'd say.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on. When we come back, we're going to give our picks for Thursday night football and the Friday night Sao Paulo game. You're listening to the Fumble Risky podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky podcast. He's CJ. I'm Chris. Let's get into the first 2 games of the season. Cowboys-Eagles, we're giving a little bit of a preview, obviously, on the Eagles side. We didn't really give much on the Dallas side, I guess, but I guess we'll give more on the Dallas side now that we're talking about the actual game itself. Well, Dallas, I don't mind their offense, honestly. Still got CD. Yeah, George Pickens. He's still a good receiver. You can say all you want that he has a shit attitude. He's still a good, solid receiver. And honestly, I kind of like their running back, Jaden Blue. Texas running back. Saw what happened with Bijan. Who knows? Maybe Jaden Blue's the next guy. Either way, I feel like that the Dallas offense could be a little sneaky this year. But that defense is going to be in rough shape. Especially with Micah getting traded.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Oh, my God. It's just Philly should win. I mean, still riding the high of the Super Bowl, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not my prediction yet, obviously. But I don't see the Cowboys being too much of a threat. I mean, I think it's going to be at least entertaining. It's going to be one of those games where they're going to be maybe trading scores quite a bit, but I think Dallas is still going to be one step behind. And a lot of it's just because of the defense. Yeah. I mean, we've talked the Micah Parsons thing to death, but Dallas, you have no way, unless Marshawn Nyland pulls a Micah Parsons level season out of his ass, you cannot rush the passer. You can't, like, and on top of that, DeMarcus Lawrence was gone too. He's now a Seattle Seahawk. So what's the plan here? I'd say, oh, we're going to stop the run. All right. You can't get to the quarterback. So now what? Especially against that offensive line, even though they're missing both their guards, you know, Beck left free agency, Dickerson's hurt, but still it doesn't matter because you cannot get to the passer. So what? He's going to have like 6 seconds in the pocket Oh, my God. So, I mean, yeah, that's going to hurt. And a lot of it, too, is the intangible thing, right? I urge you, if you're thinking about the Dallas side of things, think about morale. Do you think anyone in the locker room is happy about this? Hell, we had Cowboys players openly voicing their frustration or just saying, oh, my God, like they're shocked. So this was the absolute wrong move to pull, not just in general, but before the season started, because any morale, anything you had has just been shot to hell.
Yeah, I echo that. I can't even think about like what the Dallas Cowboys players are thinking right now, what their mindset is. They're all probably thinking like, fuck this, for all we know. It's honestly, I think you got literally this is just the game of like high morale versus down in the dumps. That's literally what we're looking at here in its purest form. And we're going to let's just get into the game picks at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Eagles by a billion, because that's how shot down this Dallas team is.
Yeah. I think Philly's going to win probably by like 10 or so. It's going to be a 2-score game. Cause don't get me wrong. The Dallas passing game, I think, is going to be on fire. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb, scary. George Pickens, also scary. A wide receiver 1A, 1B. Also, Pickens will probably punch you if things don't go his way. But there is one thing, though, that you mentioned. The running game is just, I don't view it as that terrifying, because you mentioned Jaden Blue, the rookie specifically.
At least not right now.
You heard about what's going on with him? Oh, yeah. He's facing accusations of being, and I quote, borderline lazy.
Really?
Yeah, Cowboys insider and former assistant, I think his name's like Glenn Smith or something like that, was talking about how rumblings out of camp is that they're not happy with his work ethic. And one more thing about Dallas, who's your head coach? He's a meep. Brian Schottenheimer is literally a meep. He's the Dallas version of Dennis Smith.
Who the fuck did I say that about? I don't even
Dennis
remember.
Smith, Chris.
I said that about Saints. That's right, I did.
Dennis Allen. Sorry.
Dennis Allen, yeah.
See, I got his name wrong because he just doesn't matter. At least Schottenheimer's got that Marty Schottenheimer legacy attached to him. But also, once again, if I didn't like Mike McCarthy being able to scheme his way to a victory, then I really will not like Schottenheimer. So, Dallas, I'm already counting you out. Give me the Eagles at minimum by 10.
Yeah. Spread's at 8.5, so you can make some money on that one. And honestly, if you're just been listening to the way we've been talking about this game, don't be afraid to hammer the over. Let's get it into our Friday night game. Chargers and Chiefs in Sao Paulo. Friday at 8:00. Currently, I just had this up too, but currently the Chiefs are favored at the moment. That's if I can get to the schedule itself. I was stuck on the Cowboys schedule. Dallas is favored by 3.5. Technically, the Chargers' home game for them this year. I got to go see if the NFL screwed them and deducted an actual home game from them or not. But Chargers feel like they had a bit of a disappointing offseason. I feel like they didn't make enough moves. You brought Keenan Allen back. That's good. I like that. But are we going to get the Keenan Allen of old, or are we going to get the Keenan Allen that we just saw in Chicago? Are we going to get 23 Keenan Allen, or are we going to get 24 Keenan Allen?
Well, that
other than
is
that, it's Ladd McCockney.
Question, isn't it?
Yeah. And other than that, it's Ladd McCockney. And you missed out on trying to get a receiver like Matthew Golden or freaking anybody else and help Justin Herbert out. But that's overrated. Getting receivers for your quarterback is so overrated. But other than that, Chargers Adam Mekhi Becton, but ended up losing Rashawn Slater.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough, especially after throwing him the bag.
Mm-hmm.
That is tough. You really pray that stuff like that never happens. And, of course, it happened. Beefing up a offensive line that was already starting to get really good, and you were doing the right thing, of course, with beefing up the O-line with already having Joe Alt. Plans, man. Plans get shot down a lot. But other than that, you had Najee Harris, who's still dealing with nearly getting his face blown off by a firework. Who's their other running back? Why am I blanking?
Omarion Hampton, the rookie.
Omarion Hampton. That's right. Mine. Omarion Hampton. I just got done bitching about Omarion Hampton. So, yeah, Omarion Hampton, Najee Harris, and Hassan Haskins. So, and Lord knows how healthy Najee Harris is going to be. So, really, you've just put all your cards on the table for Omarion Hampton. And Lord knows if he's going to be any good. Lot of stock in him, especially for fantasy football people, because he's going to get a lot of touches. But look at everything else, and you just wonder where the Chargers are actually going to go this year. But the one thing that they have, though, is Jim Harbaugh. That's pretty much the only thing you can rely on. That's, I mean, I can't really say the only thing, honestly, because the Chiefs are a little underwhelming sometimes. But just some food for thought.
Yeah, as for me, for the Chargers, did you know that they have a superhero on the offensive side of the ball? His name is Justin Herbert, but you might know him better as If-Man.
If-Man.
Because that's the thing. That's what they call him, and that's also what I've started calling him, because the Chargers are a team that is not made of players, but of hypotheticals. Every time from the beginning of the season, from the season opener to when they inevitably lose in the playoffs or peter out and miss it entirely, all I hear is if the defense is better, if the coaching, if the offensive line. Chargers, I'm telling you right now, from the jump, week one, no more ifs. It's put up or shut up time. You have to beat Kansas City. And here's the honest to God truth. It's doable. Kansas City's sputtering right now. Mahomes, the great Patrick Mahomes, has become a game manager. His stats have been declining for the past few seasons. The Chiefs are now defense and running the ball, which if your RB1 is Isaiah Pacheco, I don't think a run-first attack's going to do all that much. Kelsey's getting older. I mean, hell, even Chris Jones is getting older. So you have the ability to, right? Actually have Herbert attack them. You see, the way to beat Kansas City, you have to copy Philly's blueprint, because we keep hearing about Mahomes' magic. Well, make Mahomes play from behind. Put the ball in his court. Because when Mahomes had to play from behind versus Philly, he failed. And is the Chargers' defense anything close to Philly's? No. However, Herbert, with that passing attack, with Ladd McConkey, and even with half of Keenan Allen, you should be playing well, not to mention a good, sturdy 1-2 punch of Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris. Just take the fight to Kansas City. You have to go up to them and say, you have to go up to that defense, spit in their face and say, I'm not afraid of you. Like, don't stop trying to scheme your way around them. Attack. And I think that's what Harbaugh can do. But at the end of the day, I have to go with Kansas City personally for my prediction. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a real ground and pound type of game, but I feel like the Chiefs are just going to pull it out probably like late in the fourth quarter or something. And when Justin Herbert inevitably fails, we'll hear the Chargers rallying cry. If.
The two times that the Chargers played, or these two teams played last year, Chargers lost both times. First time was 17-10 in LA. Second time was 19-17 in Kansas City. I got a feeling they're hungry, man. I got a feeling.
I know they're hungry, but
they're hungry. They lost both times. You look at Justin Herbert. Yeah, he's if man, but look at the way he's playing under Jim Harbaugh. He is playing almost mistake free football. Let's take away the freaking wild card game against Houston, right? Let's just look at, we're in regular season right now. I think that's safe. Justin Herbert had over 20 touchdowns, less than 5 interceptions last season, or right at 5 interceptions, one of the two. Either way, mistake-free football under Jim Harbaugh. And everything that you just laid out, CJ, is Jim Harbaugh football. And they are going to really utilize that ground game to open up the pass. And honestly, what if Keenan Allen is the answer that they needed all along? Maybe they just needed to bring him back. Maybe this whole thing was, let's have him suck in Chicago so we can get him back for cheap. And he's going to perform lights out. Maybe that's just going to, maybe Keenan Allen, two tuds. Maybe Keenan Allen, two tuds. Ladd McConkey, a touchdown. Marion Hampton?
Oh, I can totally see it. When you play a really good team, or at least a team that's able to win a lot of games, I feel like a lot of the times teams just get scared. You know, they have to focus on playing mistake-free football instead of just attacking. And that's what you got to do. If you are Jim Harbaugh, you have to be aggressive. I know they're going to be hungry, but I don't know. I got to see it to believe it. And I think it's going to be like a one score game, probably by like a little under 3, like field goal max.
Yeah. No, I'd say if we're going to go based off the spread here, Chargers are going to cover.
Probably. Yeah, I imagine.
And they're going to win. Bang. All right. There's your preview for the NFL and Sao Paulo game, Chiefs and Chargers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give our Super Bowl matchups heading into the 2025 season. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Powered 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Last segment of the day, now that we've gotten through our two opening week games, our Super Bowl matchup predictions. So, CJ, let's do this. Let's do our conference championships and then Super Bowl. And we'll Super Bowl matchup. So give me your conference championship games.
We already did this, I think. I mean, at least for the conference championships when we were going over our predictions, I think.
Did we?
I'm like 90% sure. And if we did, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not entirely certain I like remember who I went with. But as far as the Super Bowl goes, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think Kansas City makes it back. And look, I know all the conspiracy theory people are hammering their keyboard saying, oh, but Travis and Taylor got engaged. They're going to have Taylor Swift do the halftime show. And then the Chiefs are going to make it back. And then they're going to win and propose. Look, I'm not going to lie. If that happens, then yes, I will believe the NFL's rigged. But until it does, guys, give it a rest. Especially because Kansas City Chiefs have one nasty thing going against them, and it's very real. Super Bowl hangover. Don't believe me? It's gotten them before. I mean, I think they're probably going to go back to the AFC Championship, or they're at least going to win a playoff game. But Super Bowl hangover is very real. Like I said, it did get them back in 2022 after they got walloped by Tampa. So here's the thing. Give me the Ravens. I like the Ravens coming out of the AFC this year. Lamar being a 4,000-yard passer, Derrick Henry agelessly rumbling around, Zay Flowers continuing to develop, DeAndre Hopkins brought in his good veteran support, the defense retool with guys like Malachi Starks, Jair Alexander, and rookie Mike Green. Hey, that's good cooking. And the NFC, I had to think about this one. I really had to think because my gut tells me it's the Lions' time. But at the end of the day, I think that losing both of their coordinators is going to be a little too tough for them to overcome. And I think Philly is going to keep them at bay. They're going to keep the Commanders at bay. I mean, I think the Commanders are going to be better. It's going to be a lot closer. But I still think Philly's going to be riding that momentum back to the Super Bowl. So my Super Bowl prediction, it's a battle of the birds, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nice. Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
For my Super Bowl matchup, I'm also going to go with the Ravens here for my AFC team. And I'm going to go with them beating the Bills in the AFC Championship game. And to kind of finish off the point with the Chiefs, I mean, there's a reason why there's only been ever been one team to make it to the Super Bowl in four straight years, and that being the Buffalo Bills, oddly enough. There's a reason it's only happened once. So, and it's really hard. I mean, it's hard to even get there three times. Props to the Chiefs for doing that. But do it four times, it's next to impossible. Not saying it's impossible because we've seen it happen before, but it's extremely, extremely difficult to do that. And I don't really think the Chiefs have a team to make it to a fourth straight Super Bowl. So that's my reasoning for the Chiefs not making it. So yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens and the Bills in the AFC Championship game. In the NFC side, I'm going to take the Eagles in the NFC, being in the NFC Championship game, but I'm not going to take them to go to the Super Bowl. I think that they actually have an extremely young team. They have in terms of average age in the NFL, they are the third youngest team in the league. And I'm going to put it in a prediction right now that youth will end up coming back to bite them in the ass. That's going to be my prediction. I'm not going to say specifically like, oh, Cooper DeJean is going to blow the coverage on a play or something like that. I just think that youth in this case is going to be your downfall. Not saying that it's going to be a terrible downfall. You're still making it to the NFC Championship game, but enough where you're not going to go back to back. In that team that's going to take down the Eagles, well, it's a good question. I'm kind of in between the Lions and the Packers right now. In between the Lions and the Packers. And I'm going to go with the Lions. Ravens and Lions in the Super Bowl. It's what it should have been last year, and it's what it's going to be this year. I think the Lions are going to find a way with these two new coordinators to get the job done. They still got an insane team. They still have an insane team. And they're hungry. I would say they're hungrier than last year because they got fucked over by shit they can't control. Now it's time to reverse that. That's my Super Bowl matchup prediction. The Lions and the Ravens. Yeah. Who's winning?
Yeah, who's winning? I guess now for finally we're going to have to talk about who's winning. I'm trying to avoid that.
I'll let you go first.
No. I insist.
All right. I'm going to go with the Lions. It's, you know, I feel like we've been seeing a lot of history being made recently in just the sports world of, never mind the NFL world, but just the sports world of a lot of first-time winners, especially, let's go back in the last 10 years. You got the Cubbies, you got the Washington Capitals, Texas Rangers, teams like that went through a lot of suck. Capitals, not really a lot of suck, but the Cubbies went through a lot of suck. The Lions have gone through a lot of suck. I think we've gone to that point of, all right, we're going to get another first time winner. Not saying the Cubs have never won the World Series, but you might as well say they have never won the World Series because of how long it took them to win another World Series. So give me the Lions.
I think a Ravens-Eagles Super Bowl would be insane.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be tight down to the wire. Just might be the best Super Bowl of all time. Outside of like Pat Seahawks. Oh, you know.
I think Bleacher Report or some sports site just did their top 10 games of the half century, and they had Super Bowl 49 as number one.
Valid.
Very.
So, the more I think about it, if an Eagles-Ravens Super Bowl comes to pass, give me Philly. The sole reason being, well, I wonder about their edge rushers. I wonder about the Ravens' offensive line just a little bit more, specifically Ronnie Stanley and his ability to stay healthy. I mean, Tyler Linderbaum is great in the center, but he's also one guy. Jordan Davis is just an absolute space eater, and Jalen Carter is just terrifying. And when you give me guys like Zay Flowers and DeAndre Hopkins against Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Reed Blankenship, I'll take the latter all day. This is one of those times where I think youth might help them, especially now that they already have a ring. So, and I understand your youth argument, but the fact that they've already been to the Super Bowl and won, that's going to fill in a lot of the gaps. And Harbaugh's, I will say legacy, even though he already has a ring, he's recently developed a habit of folding when the team needs him most. It's now going to happen in the Super Bowl. Philly would win, but it'd be a one-score game. And it'd be a game that you'd want to watch again and again.
I mean, I would hope for that to happen. Since we're going to keep on the average age argument real quick. So the average age of the Eagles coming into this season is 25.07. So I'm going to say that's 25. In terms of the average, the youngest teams in terms of average roster age to ever win a Super Bowl, well, look no further than the Eagles of last year, actually. 26 years and 220 days. So the Eagles team this year is younger than what it was last year. And the youngest team to ever win it was the Chicago Bears in 85, 26 years, 135 days. I actually didn't even know that last year's Eagles team was a little over a year older than what it is now. It's crazy how much younger the Eagles ended up getting when they probably didn't even need to get younger at all. But yeah, no, Adam talking our ear makes a great point. It's because they ended up getting rid of Fault. most of those veteran guys to make room for that youth. Great point, Adam. True. You might as well just hop in the fucking episode, Jesus. But so I guess, I don't know, does that trump my average age argument then?
Maybe.
Maybe so. That's our Super Bowl matchup predictions for this coming season for Super Bowl 60. Crazy that we're at the 60th Super Bowl already. Anything else, CJ, before we wrap up the show, since we have touched on all of our planned subjects at least?
Actually, there is one thing, very quick.
Okay.
My fellow Americans, it has happened. Our worst fears have come true.
Oh, no. I'm looking
at it right now. NFL Red Zone will now contain actual full commercials for the upcoming NFL season. This is per the legend himself, Scott Hansen, today on the Pat McAfee Show.
I have it up right now.
This is horrible. This, why? The phrase is 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now. Scott Hansen, one of the greatest Americans of our time, I've decided, said it every Sunday. And now you just said, nope, I'm just going to crumple that up and three-point it in the trash because I'm YouTube or ESPN or the NFL. ESPN, what are you doing here?
Book It With Trent just tweeted 7 minutes ago. Red Zone with commercials is basically sex with a condom. You're still going to do it, but it's not going to feel as good.
Literally, that's how it is. No, Chris, I'm willing to go a step further. That's NFL Red Zone with ads. That's double wrapping it. You're not going to feel anything. I mean, you're going to do it just to say you did it. But you're not going to feel anything.
I don't know if I can clip that.
NFL Red Zone with ads. We used to be a proper country. We had it all. But this is it. Guys, I don't know if it's ESPN. I don't know if it's, I mean, I just, Scott Hansen, I'm so sorry, man. But I want to offer a hope. A light, perhaps, to the American people. We have literally bullied studios into changing movies. You know? We have. Remember when Sonic the Hedgehog came out, everyone hated his design, so we literally bullied them into changing it?
Did the same thing
with Pikachu.
I think they did the same thing with... Oh, not Pikachu. I think it was Mario.
Yeah, we've done it before. My point is, there have been movies, even TV shows, where we've literally bullied them into changing it. My fellow Americans, never let up on ESPN. We will free Scott Hansen.
Yeah, no, this is a bad day in sports, that's for sure. There should never be commercials in Red Zone. I remember seeing a commercial for the first time on Red Zone, and I thought I was going to throw up. Mm. I thought the end was near. It was bad. In terms of how they're going to do the commercial, I don't know. I hope the way I remember them doing it was they had one game that was still going on and not in commercial break on like a dual screen box. They had one game that wasn't in break, and then the actual commercial going on, and they do the same thing for live events too, or the actual broadcast themselves sometimes too. A lot of people have gone that route, so I wouldn't be surprised if it is like that, but why? All right. That's a good way to wrap up the show, or maybe a bad way. I don't know. But that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out Friday at 5. The Friday episodes are back. Friday episode at 5 for our week one, or pardon, actually, it's going to be on Saturday. Let's backtrack. 2 episodes per week are back, but this one's going to be on Saturday. This one's going to be on Saturday because of the Friday night game. So Saturday is when this will come out. And also tune and also be sure to listen to our interview with former All-Pro safety Blaine Bishop that we just posted on Monday. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FullMaruski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright, the producer. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Saturday. Over and out.